Said amen. Today we're here to celebrate the life of a very special man in our lives, one that I might say lived for that day when he would see Jesus Christ. But until he was called home, certainly Duke Brady was doing the will of God, serving, ministering, doing all that he could to serve Jesus Christ. Duke Brady was born September 13th, 1931, and went home to be with the Lord on January 10th, 2019, here in St. Louis. He was the beloved husband of Betty Brady. And I might pause to interject that you just can't say Duke without adding Betty to that. All my life it's been Duke and Betty. What a team they have been. The dear father of Ginger Thacker, Kathy Miller, Scott Brady and his wife. The dear grandfather of 10, great-grandfather of 12, brother of Charlene Davis and Timothy Brady and his wife Sandy, a dear brother-in-law, uncle, and friend to many. And I have to add to this obituary a long-term member of Apostolic Pentecostal Church. In fact, he was a child when Harry Branding came in 1935 and organized the present congregation, and he has been a part of it throughout his lifetime. Brother Duke Brady and I did share that in common, that we are long-term members of Apostolic Pentecostal Church. And because he was older, I was able, growing up in the church, to observe his life and ministry, see him in action, not just within the four walls of the church, but in other settings as well. And as a result of knowing him for many years, you can imagine, like so many of you, my mind is flooded with memories going back over the years. But with my allotted time being a factor, I thought the best way to honor him would be to read from a letter that I wrote to Brother Brady. I failed to date it, but as best I can tell, it was about 5 years ago this month in 2014. And here is a portion of that letter. Dear Brother Brady, your words of encouragement during the altar service last Sunday morning prompted me to write this letter. That was not the first time you have taken an opportunity to offer affirming words to me about my ministry. Please know I appreciate every, quote, message, unquote, you have shared with me over the years. It may seem to be an odd description, but years ago when I was growing up in the church, I labeled you and one other man who had been a long-term member as well as, quote, golden men, unquote. It was just my way, and maybe a little bit childish as I look back on it now, but it was just my way of saying you are a solid, faithful, good as gold saint of God that set a Christian example. Nothing has changed since then, and I might add nothing has changed in the last 5 years either. If anything, your value to God and his kingdom has increased. I have fond memories of hearing you sing, testify, playing the upright bass. Anyone remember that? And observing your heartfelt worship during our mutual membership at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. In fact, one of your testimonies on a Sunday morning about generous giving was the confirmation I needed about a sacrificial She's for Christ pledge I had made the night before on a Saturday service. And I might pause to explain that just a little bit. I came to a Saturday night youth service. Anybody remember those we had on Saturday nights? And we made a She's for Christ service, offered pledges, and I felt prompted to double what I intended to give. And being a person who plans and a little bit analytical and all that, I went home rather nervous because I knew I could pay the first half, but I didn't know how on earth I was going to come up with the other half that I had doubled. Went to bed that way, got up the next morning, and still troubling me, going through my mind. And went through Sunday school, got to morning worship service, and very uncharacteristically, Pastor Wilford was in the pulpit. I don't know if he was taking the offering or what. He certainly wasn't preaching. But Brother Brady asked if he could say something, and he was allowed to do that, and he spoke about his learning that generous giving, going beyond what you might ordinarily do, would certainly be recognized and blessed of the Lord. And I took that as my message. If it was for no one else, it was for me that day, and I just relaxed. I still didn't have the details, which I would have welcomed, but I just relaxed and said, okay, that's my message, God, you're going to take care. And some of you that have walked with God a number of years, you won't be surprised to hear that that following week in the mail, I received a check for the exact amount that doubled what I had pledged. It was from a source, and it was just, I've never forgotten it, as you can tell by my sharing it. And I say, back to this letter, all of these times have accumulated into you being a good and welcome influence upon me. And I closed with this paragraph in the letter. The psalmist said, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I'm very blessed to be a part of APC, or as we knew it, 13th and Gravelin. And part of the heritage it has left me to date includes the impact you've made upon me. Please accept my gratitude and esteem for your service to the Lord and your contribution to my life. And I realize that story after story could be told by people here today of the influence and impact of this great man. That's why we're mourning his loss, and that's why we're going to miss him so dearly. But we do take comfort in the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, so is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body. We're going to miss him and are filled with sorrow. We know he's ready for that resurrection day.
On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Stolen weakness raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home with
glory,
life
victory,
with the redeemed that
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Raised in the likeness
praise
of my Savior,
likeness,
ready to live in
I'll
glory land.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Christian saints all shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home with
glory,
life
glory, glory,
with the redeemed
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Raised in the likeness
praise
of my
likeness,
Savior, ready to live in
glory
glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
A new home,
glory,
life,
glory,
with the redeemed
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Raised in the likeness
yes,
of my Savior, ready to live in
I'll
glory land.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'm Dan Thacker, Jr., and I'm a grandson to Duke Brady. I was asked to speak on behalf of the family, more specifically the cousins and my siblings, grandchildren. I wanted to pause for a moment. It's been mentioned, and thank you for sharing that letter, Brother Reaver. It's been mentioned, though, and I think everybody here would understand that as far as the family views this, it's a hard situation. But all the pain of this situation is down here. My grandfather fought a diligent fight all his life. And he had a strong goal. And as far as we're concerned, he's reached and attained that goal. And that needs to be celebrated. So while we feel the pain of this down here, we also feel the joy in knowing that that accomplishment that he sought all his life, he's achieved. When I was asked to speak, this is not what I do, so I was really racking my brain, what could I say? And I thought instead of me just giving a couple of my stories of Grandpa, that I reached out to my siblings and my cousins, and I said, let's all, you know, think of Grandpa for a while, and what comes to mind? How would you describe him? Give me some words from yourselves. And so we came up with a list. Discipline was one of the words. And by the way, some of us had we had the same words to describe him. A true gentleman. If you ever saw my grandfather with my grandma anywhere, anytime, that was evident. He was a true gentleman. Compassionate, wise, noble. Some of the members of this church can attest to this. One of us brought up a true worshiper. Amen? Joy. Someone said avid outdoorsman, and I think the grandchildren would agree. If we have any skill at all in catching fish or hunting, it probably came from him. I think he taught each and every one of us how to fillet a fish. I personally don't remember how to, but I know he taught me. He was trying. Loving, zealous, virtuous. And this is one of them that several of us had. Integrity. My grandfather was a man of integrity. I say that in full confidence. If you ever asked my grandfather for advice or just needed to talk to him about something, you were confident in the fact that what he was telling you or the advice he was given was not just something for your benefit, but that it would be something he would live. He never said anything just to say it. If he said it, he believed it. And if he believed it, he lived it. When I think of my grandfather, one of the words that I came up with was faithful. He was faithful to our family in his leadership. And he would tell you what he thought, no doubt. But he wasn't loud. He wasn't brash in his leadership. That wasn't what I'm talking about. It was just consistency, faithfulness. You know, if you've been on the earth any amount of time, you realize no matter how blessed you are, no matter how good your life is, you have ups and you have downs. Everybody does. That's life. So I'm confident in saying that my grandfather had ups and he had downs. He had good times and bad. Integrity followed him through that whole process. He didn't even seem to struggle with it. I know that's probably not true, but he didn't seem to struggle. It came easy for him. He was consistent. He was firm. He was set. So no matter what was going on around him, he was steady. He was faithful to my grandmother. Grandma, man, he loved you. And I don't say that like he loved you. I tell you what, there was many a time he would pull me aside, and he'd done it so much that I was like, yeah, I know, Grandpa. But he would say, you know, Betty, that's my girl. That's my girl. He took pride in that. He took true pride in just being able to walk into a room and hold her hand. And that never changed. It never faltered. It never got weak. He was faithful to my grandmother. And he was faithful to his Savior. Probably the most important and most faithful he was to his Savior. This Thanksgiving, it was just evident that Grandpa was struggling. And by Christmas, he had declined that much more. I think everybody that was there tried to take a little bit of time to just sit down next to him, maybe say a few words or just be near him. I sat down next to him, and I tried to have a small conversation with him, just take some time. And you could tell he didn't understand what I was saying, and I couldn't understand what he was trying to say. It was just that rapid. But there are a couple of things that he could say just as clear as day. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus loves you. I talked to my grandmother, and she said, he's always been a praying man, always. Everybody can attest to that. But in this last time period, he would spend hours and hours just praying. She mentioned that if she couldn't get him to eat his breakfast on time, he'd start praying, and then he wouldn't eat his breakfast. He would get lost in the Spirit. You couldn't understand a thing he was saying, but he was definitely having a conversation. And in these last days, when his mind was failing him, his faithfulness carried him because the peace that he found was in those moments where he got lost in the Lord. Grandma, I stand here with utmost confidence in telling you that when you get to heaven, Grandpa's going to be up there waiting to open the door for you.
streets that are golden. And I want to run where the angels have tried. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river. And I see the city of God.
Rejoice in the hope that we have, Lord. Thank you for that great city. Thank you for your great preparations. Thank you for what you did here so that we can go there. We thank you today, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you today. Praise God. Well, it feels like Duke Brady's been here. Praise God. Trademark of this wonderful, wonderful man. You may be seated. And thank you for being here today to honor Brother Brady and to honor this family. And it is an honor to honor him. You have probably, may have noticed that a theme, a definite theme, has emerged from every song that he and the family have chosen for Brother Brady's memorial service. It's because it was the theme of his life. Heaven, New Jerusalem, eternity with a new body and a new life, the coming of the Lord, and not only his coming, but our going in a rapture. And so, the text of his service today is one that holds that same theme. And while it was written about another godly man, it could have been written about this godly man. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The 219 Duke Brady translation reads, "And Duke Brady walked with God." He is not in body, but he is in spirit. And so, Duke Brady walked with God. When the writer of Hebrews adds their New Testament perspective on the life of Old Testament Enoch that we read about from Genesis, here's what that writer said in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found. Evidently, they were looking for him. Because God had translated him. And then he gives us the reason. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had a walk with God, but not only did he have a walk with God, he had a testimony from God. He pleased him. Duke Brady had a walk with God, but he also had a testimony from God. He pleased the Lord. He walked with God. He walked with God in his personal life. He began a relationship with the Lord early in his life. He was baptized on Thursday, July 10th, 1947, 71 years, 5 months ago. And he was 15, getting ready to turn 16. He received the Holy Ghost on a Saturday night, August 28th, the next year, 1948. And so, as Brother Reaver has mentioned, he has been at APC for a long time. His mother received the Holy Ghost at APC in 1935, the year Brother Branding, his pastorate, began. And Brother Braddy would have been 4 years old at that time, so he has attended APC for 80-plus years of his life. I came across a little note that he wrote me back in 04, and he refers to this. He said, "I want to tell you, Brother Williford, how much I am enjoying what I call the third tabernacle." Only Duke Braddy would come up with something like this. Leviton Hickory, or the first building at 13th and Gravois, the building built in 1958 and now 901 Barracks View. He said, "I mentioned the little baseball song I heard on the radio during the recent pennant drive, 04. You asked me to drop you a note. In the song, the player in the song was pleading with his coach, saying urgently, 'Coach, put me in.' The only other words I remember are these, around first, going for home, I thought of heaven. Our youth on first, our pastor and mature ones on second, and us elders on third. We will all cross the home plate." He couldn't talk without talking about heaven, could he? He couldn't write. He couldn't hear a song. How do you get heaven out of a baseball song? And the whole Duke Braddy's going to get it out of there, I'm telling you. APC, it is our honor to honor this faithful man and his faithfulness, one of our longest standing members. He walked with God in all phases of his life. The recreational phases. You've heard it today. He tried to teach Dan how to fillet a fish and others. He fished, he hunted. Duke Braddy, the deer hunter, the rabbit squirrel hunter, walked many woods, forest trails, riverbanks, some of them with his brother Tim. And he enjoyed that passion of life. But while he was walking in the woods, he was walking with God. There are no telling how many solos were sung, if not out loud, at least in his head and his heart. No telling how many testimonies were given. Only the trees of the woods and the forest heard and felt the prayers and the praises of this man of God who walked the woods, but more importantly, walked with God. Brother Braddy worked for Laclede Gas Company for several years. One of his jobs was to read the gas meter of hundreds of homes and businesses. As was the experience of the rural woods, so was the experience of the streets and buildings and homes of metropolitan St. Louis. Brother Braddy, his faith and praise, was no respecter of locations. There are blocks and streets full of St. Louis homes and business buildings that if those walls could speak, they would say. I heard him say something about a name called Jesus. I heard a song, but I felt a presence that not only walked through my yard, but penetrated through my walls. There are no telling how many people were blessed just because this Laclede gas meter reader, Holy Ghost filled believer, walked on their premises. Duke Braddy was walking his Laclede meter reading route, but he was walking with God. He walked with God before others. As you've heard already today, and by the way, a message like this is never difficult to prepare. Not when the author writes it for you, and all you have to do is read the testimony of his life. He believed in that consistency of lifestyle, both naturally and spiritually. So he lived the life of an apostolic Christian, at church, while he lived life, home, on the job, any and everywhere. I came across another little note he gave me some years ago. He talked about going shopping at Aldi's, and you could get a cart, but you had to put a quarter in to get the cart. And so when he would take the cart, and on his way out, when he saw an incoming customer, he would offer them his cart. He'd save them a quarter, and he was about that. But he also just happened to have a church invite card. And he helped somebody save a quarter and invited them to an experience with the Lord to help save their soul. Dan Hill, who pastors over in the District of Illinois, said this: "My uncle brought me," who is Kevin Rooney, "my uncle brought me to APC in the winter of 2006. I was a serious sinner, 20 years old, a severe alcoholic and drug addict, had done so many bad things. I had not gone very long, and one service I felt the presence of God, and God touched me. At the altar call, I didn't know what to do." And he writes this to Caressa, Dan does. He said, "But your grandfather Duke came up next to me so gentle and led me in repentance and prayed me through to the Holy Ghost." And then he adds, "I mean the real power. God delivered me that day. I shook and spoke with tongues for a long time. It was your grandpa that led me into that. I've now been pastoring for 5 years in Central Illinois. I will always remember him." People coming through the line last night stopped and said, "He was so very open and welcoming and friendly to me." Tony Dotson, one of the men in our church, said, "In one of my early experiences at APC, it was a church picnic, and he said, Brother Duke and Brother Tim came up to me, spoke to me, and made me feel so welcome and at home. It was one of the little boxes that needed to be checked for the Dotson family in order to help them to feel comfortable among God's people." Numbers of people were witnessed to and visited church services and were greeted by. There were several times when he would stop me in the aisle and say, "You know, there's a guest over there." He was wanting to make sure I was on the job. Sometimes I was and sometimes I wasn't. But he helped me, and he had greeted them already, but he wanted to make sure that they got a greeting from several others, including leadership of the church. So many people were witnessed to and greeted and discipled by this disciple who followed and walked with God. And very importantly, he walked with God before his family. He wanted his family to walk with God. He wanted them to walk through this life with integrity that you've heard about and righteous and apostolic values. And he did more than want them to. He walked it before them as the leader of his family and an example. And he walked it with them. He did his best to make sure Sister Betty, Ginger, Kathy, Scott walked in the paths of God's righteousness. And the best thing to do is to allow them to tell the story of their husband and dad. Sister Brady tells about so many wonderful experiences and his kindness, his gentleness, his godliness, his prayer life, and especially in recent days as she was caring for him, and he would start praying, and you've heard this today already. And then she wrapped it up by saying, there'll just never be another Duke Brady. I have a feeling that there's another version of that statement from his perspective, Sister Brady. There'll never be another Betty Brady. Thank you for caring for him all through your married life, but especially in these recent days and times. Ginger said, through the years, our father was such a great example, not only of a spiritual man, but also a man who was content in what he had and not always wanting more of the riches of this world. He taught us to give first to God in our finances, our time, and talents. He was a good provider, and we wanted for nothing. He was very frugal, though. He would keep a car for a long time and usually would only buy one when he could pay cash for it. I remember that old 1953 Chevy that we had and how embarrassed I was when we would pull up to 13th and Gravois. He probably knew how to humble us, Ginger. That's probably what he did. I sometimes would put my head down when we'd pull into the parking lot in front of my friends. But he never wanted to owe anyone. He always wanted to pay cash. Well, I could go off on a Bible study right here, but I won't. He had a big heart, and with any extra he had, he wanted to give to people who were in need and help them. I am sure God was smiling down on him. What a great example of a man of God. He was walking with God, Ginger. Kathy said, my dad was a man's man, a hunter who brought home game for the family. He was a gentleman, always showing respect for my mom, opening her door and doing little things for her to show his love. And somehow he always managed to have a clean white handkerchief every time somebody needed it. He also had an artistic side, writing poems and inspirational songs and playing instruments in the church orchestra. There's a song I'm going to refer to a little bit later at the gravesite that he wrote about, you guessed it, heaven in the bosom of God. I think of him as having great strength and great gentleness at the same time. A special memory for me was one Easter when we were kids. Mom and Dad took us to church as usual. We were all dressed up in our Easter best, but by the time we started home that Sunday evening, the temperature had dropped and the roads were icy. When we tried to get up the big hill going into our subdivision, the car just would not make it up the hill. After several tries, it was no use. We would have to walk in. My father did not hesitate. He left my mom and us in the warm car, walked a mile and a half to our house to get warm clothes and boots for us. He then walked the mile and a half back again, carrying bags of warm clothes. All bundled up, we set out for home, and my dad made the third trip, another mile and a half back to the house. I never heard him complain that he was cold or upset or about having to walk almost 5 miles on icy roads. I have often thought about that selfless act and felt proud to have a father that was such a great protector of the family. He was walking icy roads, but he was walking with God. Scott said, Dad really stood out with his individuality. I could not have had a better example of how to live a responsible, respectful, honest, caring, moral, and loyal Christian life than my father. These things are the definition of Duke Brady. Dad was a very organized man, keeping everything he owned neat and in order, most being necessities rather than luxuries. He led by example, and his correction and discipline was always balanced with love and fairness. One of my memories from my young childhood was the time my conscience was heavy. because I had taken a small toy from the store without paying for it. I went to my dad's bedside in the middle of the night. I was crying and I told him what I had done, and instead of harsh discipline, he showed a loving father's understanding. He taught me a life lesson by taking me back to the store, having me return the item and explain what I had done. The item was not valuable, maybe only worth about 20 cents, but I learned a valuable lesson that day. That it is not about the value of the item, but the value is in being an honest man. And so is the walk of Duke Brady with the head of and for his family. Not only his immediate family, but all of his family. And he had a big one. Were his concern for spiritual well-being. Many, many times family members were mentioned for prayer. And that includes many of you that are seated here today. He and Sister Betty both extended what influence they could upon children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and many other extended family members. There's a living testimony seated here today, and they're going to sing for you. I want the grandchildren to come at this time. What you're seeing walk to this platform is the harvest of his example, his prayers, Sister Brady's example and prayers. You can find it in the harvest of these grandchildren that are coming to sing today. And I would add that Brother Reaver said it right. When you say Duke, you might as well say Betty. And when you say Betty, you might as well say Duke. Thank you, Brother and Sister Brady, for your advancement. And I probably don't need to announce to you that the theme of this song is heaven, the great hope that this elder lived for. God bless them as they sing.
See you.
final time. Thank you for this hope now, Lord.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throngs upon the glassy sea? To greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Let's rejoice in that hope today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is. Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the example of our brother, for his life, his actions, his behaviors that exampled you and reflected heaven and its values. And now, Lord, thank you also for the great hope that he possessed. He believed it. He sung it. He read about it. But it was deeply imprinted and ingrained in his every fiber. Thank you for that great example. And Lord, that hope is not going to be disappointed. But that great day is going to come that you told us about in your word. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Thank you for every footstep of his life. Thank you that he marked a trail for others of us to follow. And now, those that followed immediately behind him, his family, Sister Betty, Ginger, Kathy, and Scott, we ask your blessing and your covering and your peace and your sufficient grace as only you can give. Thank you for this family and then every extended family member. Let them feel your favor and your goodness. We thank you for all of the blessings that you gave to him, and because you gave those to him, he shared those with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Thank you for being here today. And I know this family appreciates your expressions, both being here today and then recent days of prayer and any other expression of love that you have given. Thank you for that. In just a moment, the funeral director and our ushers will be dismissing and directing you for the final review. And due to some constraints of time and our effort to arrive at the cemetery on time, we ask that as you pass by for the final review, that you not stop and pause, and perhaps there can be another time when you'll be able to greet family members. After the review, if you can move immediately to your vehicles from the sanctuary, and then we want to allow the family to have proper, adequate privacy for the time following this service. If you're going to the cemetery, please receive a funeral sticker that they will have available and put your flashers on the vehicle. Thank you, Kudus Funeral Home, Paul and others who, as always, have done a wonderful job of helping us at this time. God bless you. You may be seated. You will be dismissed shortly.